This is Cramer Financial Talk with Jim Cramer of Cramer Investment Services. When a part of your financial strategy is out of tune, your long-term goals, your retirement savings, and your legacy can all suffer. With many years of experience in the financial industry, Jim Cramer provides his clients and prospects with the information they need regarding Social Security, retirement income planning, wealth management, and much more. So listen in as we address your financial concerns and provide helpful strategies to put you on the path to achieving your retirement goals. And now, here is Cramer Financial Talk with Jim Cramer.
Welcome back to another episode of Cramer Financial Talk. My name is Jim Cramer. For those of you in Wisconsin, our Lake Geneva phone number is 262-729-4128. For listeners in Illinois, our McHenry office number is 815-331-8096. Those of you that are podcasters, you can listen to all of our past shows either by logging on to our website, cramerinvestmentservices.com, spelled K-R-A-M-E-R, or on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts. You can listen to all of our past shows. Today's topic is going to be on buffered outcome funds, or rather, they're used in so many, they're mentioned in so many different ways, buffered funds. We're going to talk about them. There's a huge rise of money that's been pouring into these funds over the last few years, especially this year. We're going to talk about them. We're going to talk about what's good about them and what's bad about them. But before we do, I want to introduce you to my co-host, Tony Shore. Tony, how are you?
I am so good. Once again, if I was any better, my name would be Jim Cramer. That's how good I'm doing. And you know what, Jim? At least I can say the last couple of weeks I've been able to say I'm doing better than the market.
That's not too difficult to say there,
low bar,
Tony, but thank you. That's very kind of you. I thought you were going to recite a quote from Charlie Sheen in Wall Street saying, if any better, I'd be a sin.
But oh, you didn't say that. Nope. If I was any better, my name would be Jim Cramer. That's how good I am.
That's so sweet of you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. You. Well, you know me. I'm nothing if not sweet. Right.
You are.
I mean, that's just.
Yes.
Sweetheart of a guy. Okay. But Jim, you're the man with the plan. I'm just here for my good looks and charm. You're here for the actual knowledge.
That is a fact. No, that is very, very truthful statement about yourself. I don't know about me, but that was a truthful statement. All right. So, Tony, we're going to talk about the buffered funds. What's the purpose of them? It's really designed to be a hedge from a falling stock market, to give people some reassurance of some level of market protection in case of the market moving down. And this year, we have seen the markets move down. It's down today as of just prior to our broadcast. Now, this is April 16th of 2025. The S&P 500 is now down over 10% for the year. The NASDAQ is now running over 12% for the year. And the Dow Jones is running down in the single digits. It's been a few years since we've had a down market. And certainly the topic of tariffs usually can bring a downturn. And a lot of people have been nervous about that. So the question is, with your time horizon, when you need the money, should we do some alterations to your plan? If you're a growth-oriented investor and you have time on your hands, something like buffered outcomes or buffered funds are probably not appropriate. But for many people in retirement who need growth, they need growth that's better than what you get in the bond market, it could be very useful. So anyways, with that in mind, Tony, let's talk about the buffered outcomes. What exactly does it provide for people? Like, why, I know its purpose. Its purpose is to provide some level of downside protection, but what is a buffered fund?
Right. And you wanted to call the show today. You're calling it The Rise of Buffered Funds. And I immediately thought we should call it The Rise of Buttered Buns. So that's just where your mindset's at.
Your mind is on food. We should probably stop doing these around lunchtime so we can change the topic about food.
It is so true. The minute you said buffered funds, my brain said buttered buns.
I should start doing more food examples with you.
Right. But seriously, first, what do you mean by the rise of buffered funds?
Tony, they've only been around for a few years. So we don't have a long track record with these types of funds. Many people in years past would look to the bond market. They would look to annuities. They would look to other strategies, which include structured notes. There's so many different what we call hedging strategies in case what if something goes wrong.
Right.
All right. So the purpose of the buffered funds, especially for somebody who's off on the sidelines, they've got a lot of money sitting in the bank. They're maybe getting 3-4% at best right now in the bank, in the banking world, and they need to grow that money better over time than 3-4%. Well, this is a way for those investors to participate in the stock market, get a layer of downside protection while being able to grow that money over time, more than likely better than 3-4% per year, but also works very useful for somebody in retirement or somebody nearing retirement. For example, if we have somebody planning on retiring, let's say in a few months, and we have these tariffs that are overhanging our economy right now, which have given us more down days than we have up, especially since middle February, a buffered strategy can be very good, especially if you want to get a higher rate of return than you get in the bond market. So, all right, just one last thing as far as the differences between a bond and a buffered outcome. I'll give you an example. This year, most buffered outcomes investors haven't lost any money, but they haven't gained any money because the buffered outcome strategy will give you typically up to 10 or 15% of downside protection during the course of a year. It doesn't give you the full protection. So once you lose, let's say more than 10, 15%, whatever the specific buffered fund offers, some of them I've seen have been over 20% of downside protection, which can be really good. Once you go over that buffered amount, so you're in the negative of say negative 11% on a 10% buffered strategy, you're down 1% now for the year, which is much better than the average investor that's in the stock market. Conversely, the bond market, well, I've just looked this year, right now, the bond market in general is up about 2%, which doesn't seem like much, but they're on now about a 6 to 7% year over year pace in performance in the bond market. So if the stock market is moving backwards, if it continuously moves backwards, we should have returns somewhere in the 5 to 10% range, usually most of the time with the bond market. But the problem is over time, the bond market will not be a good long-term strategy. In fact, it barely will keep up with inflation. In fact, the last 15 years, the bond market has not kept up with inflation. So people are looking for other safer strategies that can grow your money. Probably not, and usually not as good as what you'd get in the stock market, but you would do better over time than holding your money in a bank account or in the bond market. It's a little higher on the risk side than the bond market, but the return, when I look at the risk reward, we look at certain risk indicators like the Sharpe ratio. Sharpe ratio is very favorable to buffered outcomes as opposed to the bond market. Although the bond market tends to be, unless you're into some risky bond funds or a specific bonds that you're holding, it tends to be safer in risk, but the return from bonds is so much lesser than what we've received over the last few years from buffered outcomes. So this has naturally been a place where people looking for safety for whatever reason, find this as a good place to go.
Right. And it's something that's not been around a long, long time. Like you say, they just keep coming up with ways to make these things more attractive to investors. And that's good news for us, the investor, and for our listeners out there, because buffered index portfolios, I know, you know, Gradient Investments has a buffered index portfolio where, you know, you get downside protection. And your upside is limited, but it's still more potential upside than a bond. So, or a CD or something like that. So
yes,
it's really good. You know, you might be limited to 10, 12, 15% upside, but some of them you get have zero downside, right?
Right. And so it's designed to mirror what we've seen in structured notes, but it's not done through a bank. It's done through an exchange traded fund company.
Sure.
The largest provider is a company called Innovator, but I've also seen Allianz, AIM. There's a number of mutual fund companies or exchange traded companies that are starting to get into the space.
Yep.
And it's becoming very competitive. And
it's very competitive because the people say, why? Why would they? That sounds too good to be true. It's because all these companies like Allianz and the others you mentioned, they're and big insurance companies who have insurance products, they're all competing for your money to be invested through them. And the more they have invested through them, the more cash flow they have, the more investing they get to do and earning some off your money. So they want to attract it. So they come up with things like really good fixed index annuities with no fees. They come up with the buffered index portfolios that are directly with market investments. So that's really good news to hear.
It is. Now, the one advantage with the annuities is if you design it right, it can prevent you from losses entirely. Whereas the buffered outcomes or buffered funds strategy, you are typically in a fund that has a 1 year maturity date.
Sure.
You can literally jump in anytime during the course of the year and you can get out anytime you'd like. And that's something that annuities don't offer.
Right.
So a lot of people that want that flexibility, like they fear, like a lot of people going into this year, knowing Donald Trump's in office, not to say that's bad or good, but you knew tariffs were going to be a discussion and he was going to lead with that right off the bat. And we've seen that. And so there was people that were nervous. We put them in buffered outcomes, that buffered outcomes portfolio with Gradient. And so far they've been, you know, relieved. Even though they're not making money, they haven't really lost any money at this point in time. Typically you get, now it ranges from time to time, but typically 15% on the upside maximum. I don't see too many that are going beyond 15% in the course of a 12 months span that you can make. They will typically tie it to the S&P 500, a number of different stock market indices they will track. On the downside, when things are going poorly, they'll give you, and typically 10 to upwards of 20% of downside protection. And it's the first 10 to 20% that I see mostly in these funds of downside protection. And then your losses are only if it exceeds during the course of the year, and especially at the end of the term, whatever it is in the negative side. So if we have a really lousy year, Tony, and you're in a buffered outcomes fund that has a 20% buffer, as they call it, your loss for that year would only be 10%. Whereas a lot of investors would have lost substantial amounts of money. Now, on the other hand, you're limited on your upside. So we're in a good year. The investor that is not in a buffered outcome strategy is going to do better over time. Although, the unique thing with buffered outcomes, let's say we're in a really good year, and let's say it's a January 1st starting date for a buffered outcomes fund. Now, they all have varying months of when they start and end, but let's say it's a one-year buffered outcomes fund, and it's a great year, but the cap is 15%. So let's say by May, you've already hit 15%. Now you're capped out. You know, through a buffered outcomes strategy, a good money manager such as Gradient or any number of firms will sell that fund. And to the investor, you will get all of the gain at that point. And then wait for the next month. Like we get into early June, in like a Gradient, they're going to put you into a new June starting date fund with a new cap, potentially upwards of 15% of gain that you can still get with 15% of down. So you're not really tied necessarily to a cap. The fund has got a stated cap, but you as the investor, if you are actively watching your accounts or you have a money management firm like Gradient that's making the day-to-day trades, you can get out of that fund with no fee and move into a new fund with new opportunity.
Interesting. So maybe our listeners out there are saying, Jim, so what's the downside? Is there a catch? Or why wouldn't I put everything I've got and all my retirement funds into one of these buffered index portfolios?
Okay. So a couple of things come to mind here, Tony. So if we're in the downside of the market, and let's say you're 10% down on a fund that has a 15% buffer, so you're still protected. If you were to move your money out prior to that maturation date, because they typically go 1 year out and then they automatically re-renew. So you don't, it's not like a structured note where it's or a CD where you have to get out after the maturity date. You can stay in as long as you like. But if you're in the downside and you opt to move your money out, you do not get any downside protection at all.
So, so you would take that loss. You would
take that loss.
So you have to leave it in there until the maturity date.
Yes. When you're in the downside, yeah. You do not have to. You can move your money out, but there's what I would call a huge penalty.
Yeah. So if it's, but if it's up and you move it out, then there's no downside to doing that, right?
Yes, but there isn't a downside. So let's say we're in a roaring market and
like last year where we're up 24.
Yes.
Percent.
So let's say that, you know, it's June and we're already up 20% and you had a 15% cap and then you decide to sell that fund. So you get the 15% gain. You usually have to wait to the next following month to start up a new one. So it could be a couple of weeks before you restart that out. So you're going to miss out on some of the activity, especially in a bull market, where they will say over time, you're going to end up with less of a return. And I tell everybody who's considering this, you will not keep up with the overall stock market. Even though it's being tied to like the S&P 500, you will not get all of the gain. But compared to, this is really not to compare it to your stock portfolios, compare it to other more conservative strategies.
Where you get principal protection or downside protection, like CD or something like that.
That's right.
That's what it's instead of, because the upside is more than likely going to be greater, is what you're saying. So so that is good. So it's good to have a mix, like some in, say, a buffered index portfolio, some in your regular stocks.
Yes.
Some in, you know, in an emergency fund in the bank, some in maybe a fixed index annuity. So you really want a variety rather than have it all your eggs in one basket, whether that be stocks or CDs or buffered index portfolios is what
you're saying. I like diversity, but somebody who's looking for a way to grow their, what I call their conservative money, their green money, the safe money. This is not perfectly safe. It is not government insured. Annuities, bank deposits are government insured, but it's typically invested by very wealthy firms. And to me, there's a lot of upside potential when I look at the risk reward compared to, say, the bond market. It's superior so far in its returns over the last few years. So we get into a bunch of really, really bad years. The performance is going to be worse. Then versus the bond market, because the bond market in most instances will go up when the stock market is heading down.
But not necessarily. We saw that a few years ago, you know, with inflation and the COVID fallout. We saw that change. That used to always be the case, right?
Not 2022.
Right. Well, 2022, it was upside down.
So if we're in a rising interest rate environment like we were in 2022, even if stocks go down, bonds will go down.
Yeah.
Whereas buffered outcome strategies are benefited as far as how much cap you can gain and how much buffer they're going to offer. The higher the interest rates, the more they're going to offer in that type of space. Just like annuity companies are going to offer more as far as how much opportunity you can get in a fixed indexed annuity. So interest rates are sensitive to this. If we see interest rates really go down, bond market is going to have a favorable outcome. Buffered outcomes, not so good. So this is a great strategy for now. But as the markets change, and they will always evolve, to me, this is a good strategy for now, especially a nervous investor who's, especially if you got a short time duration before you need the money or you're in retirement and you're worried about, you know, making sure that money's going to last. This is a really good option for many people who do not like their money being tied up for a sufficiently long period of time. Whereas annuities can offer some great benefits, but you could be tied in to that annuity for a number of years and you may not want that.
Yeah. Yeah. You might not want to be tied up. So that's another point. And, you know, just to clarify, when you have money in a CD at a bank, it's FDIC insured. That's insured by the government, but only up to $250,000.
That's correct. Right.
So you don't want to have more necessarily in there if you're concerned about the bank going under. With annuities, those are based on the claims paying ability of the issuing insurance company, which to me is good because I know, Jim, you're not beholden to one company. You look at all the different options out there and work with some of the top rated companies.
Right.
So they have a good rating. Plus, those companies are insured in other ways up to $250,000 as well. It's not the government, but it is insured up to $250,000 if they should go under, but they're A rated companies. And this typically does not happen. Same with banks going under. It typically does not happen. I think you have to look at all the pros and cons, and that's what you help your clients do, because you want to find what's in their best interest and is going to work for them. So they have the money when they need it in retirement, and they have it so they can count on it, and yet don't sacrifice all their growth, right?
That's right, Tony. We've talked about this many times. People in retirement, it's a different mindset, especially when you're in the withdrawal phase of retirement. If you suffer heavy losses that the market, especially in stocks, could occur, that could set you back and have you now rethink retirement and maybe even have to go back to work. So strategies like what we just talked about are very important for people nearing or in retirement. Unless you're an extremely nervous investor who's younger, I don't recommend these types of strategies. I believe in using the stock market as one of your main parts of investing, real estate.
Until you get closer to retirement.
Until you get closer to retirement, then we start focusing on risk management. Risk management is a big focus of my job, Tony.
Well, that's great. And if our listeners out there have questions or don't have a plan in place that takes these factors into account, they should get together with a trusted financial services professional. And I'm not going to name names, but I happen to know a guy, Jim Cramer, that could help you.
Yes, not the guy on Mad Money who drinks a lot of coffee and then gets on the air and he looks disheveled.
I hope it's just coffee. We don't know. The jury's still
maybe,
out on that.
Maybe Jim Cramer did, but hey, Mr. Tony Shore did it back in his younger days.
Yeah, it's not.
But we won't talk about that.
No, but I'll tell you what, Jim, you're not that Jim Cramer. You're a little more down to earth, which is very helpful when
that's
it comes
very kind
to
of you.
A financial services professional.
You are just working me over until the Minnesota Vikings season starts.
Oh, yeah. The Bears, the Packers, and the Vikings. We're not going to get into that.
I know how you work, Tony.
Oh, like yeah.
To butter me up. You got buttered buns on the brain.
What kind of a mind hears the words buffered funds and immediately thinks of buttered buns? I mean, that's just, it's wrong, but
it's wrong on so many levels.
That's where I'm at. Jim, thanks for all the great advice on today's show. Let our listeners know how they can schedule that no charge, no obligation consultation if they have any questions.
Okay. So we do have listeners in other states, but my main two states, Tony, is Wisconsin and Illinois. So if you're in Wisconsin, our Lake Geneva phone number is 262-729-4128. If you're in Illinois, it's 815-331-8096. Our office in Illinois is in McHenry. If you're in any one of those other states, feel free to give us a call at any one of those numbers. We are here to help.
All right. Well, Jim, thanks again. Listeners, thanks for tuning in. That does it for today's episode of Cramer Financial Talk with our host, Jim Cramer. Thank you for listening to Cramer Financial Talk. Don't pay too much for taxes or retire without a sound income plan. For more information, please contact Jim Cramer at Cramer Investment Services. Call 262-729-4128 or visit them online at KramerFinancialTalk.com. Fee-based planning and investment advisory services are offered by Kramer Investment Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor in the state of Wisconsin and Illinois. Insurance products and services are offered through Kramer Investment and Insurance Services, Inc. Kramer Investment Services, LLC, and Kramer Investment and Insurance Services, Inc. are affiliated companies.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.